Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Afternoon at the tone. Pacific Daylight Time will be.
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Roth.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanet.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
What up? Happy Monday. Welcome back to the third hour of Primetime. No Isaac, no Suk, no Buck, actually. Schultzy, Shad, and Will coming in for the next 2 hours or so. We got the club coming up at 6, but another hour of so much to break down from the world of sports. Oh my goodness, Rashad. I watched sports literally from Saturday morning to Sunday when I went to bed last night. It was like minus the final two episodes of Silo that my wife and I finally finished up. We had binged that entire season and had just the last couple episodes left. But other than that, on Saturday night, it was all sports for me all weekend.
Not a lot of sports for me. You know, I'm in the process of moving. So I've
real life responsibilities checking in.
Right? And so usually if you know anything about moving, it really takes away your ability to do anything. So I caught some sports towards the tail end of, you know, of the weekend and everything, but you know, didn't really get a chance to dive into everything. Thank God for things like ESPN on your phone and Bleacher Report, or, you know, if you do have anything like Max or Fubo that you can kind of tap in and watch stuff on your phone. But otherwise, I didn't get a chance to see as much, you know, even like the last parts of the draft, which I'll be real, I don't really watch like the third and fourth rounds.
I'm not sure many people do. I think it's like they turn it on quickly, but past the first round, Rashad, maybe the second.
Yeah.
You kind of just check in to see where your guys are going, and then you check back out.
Yeah, you know, and if you're anything like me, then you have, you know, things attached to your phone, so I can see when any Duck and Beeve got drafted and kind of, you know, tap in that way for the most part. But usually this weekend was pretty busy, and it'll be another, you know, had a yard sale.
Trying
to sell some stuff.
You were out hawking all the stuff, man.
Yeah, man.
Was that like 7, 8 a.m. early call Saturday morning?
That's what I was trying to do. I started like right around 9 because I had to go get some stuff from the store. So,
yeah.
But yeah, tried to get out there really early and tried. And then it was raining and it was cold and it was wet. So,
did you have like the professional garage, the garage salespeople like waiting for you like before you started?
No, like
I've had
outside,
that happen before.
Outside just waiting. No, you know, luckily the few that actually came by, which wasn't a lot. The few that came by, number one, they bought something, which is always good. But it was real quick. And it wasn't like as much stuff. Initially, when I was getting ready to sell stuff, I had a bunch of it. So I was like, okay, this is going to be great. And then I started setting stuff up. I was like, maybe not as much as I thought was here. But some people came and took some really obscure things that I didn't think anybody would actually want. But cool. There was this little globe thing, a little wooden globe. I didn't think anybody would want it. $5. Thank you, madam.
Isn't that awesome?
Take that. Yeah.
It's like, hey, another one man's trash is another man's treasure.
But
take it off my hands.
Anything else that wasn't, you know, purchased, which was everything else, went ahead and took that to the Goodwill. And so hopefully they can, I'm sure they'll get some money for it.
Like I said, lots to get to. We still have some fun with audio coming up this hour. Colts GM Chris Ballard hating anonymous sources, and I've got a soapbox to climb on for that one. The NFL allowing guardian caps during games, we'll dive into that as well as a recap of the Oregon spring game. But now let's get to the hot 5 and 5.
Oh. Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
It's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Sue. Brought to you on the fan by Victor Rico's Mexican Food, the most popular burrito spot in Oregon. Online at victorricos.com.
Number five.
News out of the NHL, the Seattle Kraken have fired head coach Dave Haxtell after 3 seasons with the team. They have cited a need for improvement following a disappointing finish to the year. He had a 107, 112, and 27 record in his 3 seasons there. They did reach the Western Conference Finals during his tenure, but GM Ron Francis is making a change. So the first time that a head coach has been fired for the Seattle organization up there. It's nice that we got a hockey team. I wish we got a Portland hockey team, but honestly, I've been rooting for the Kraken since they came into existence, and sucks to see that they have to make a change, and I'm wondering if it's too soon, man. A mediocre record? Is there something going on in the locker room? I don't know.
Well, when you see other teams around you doing well, and again, since the Kraken was started, they've had one coach, and, you know, he's their one coach, so maybe it's just time for a new direction, a new voice. It happens sometimes in sports.
Number 4.
Some bad news again for the Oregon State Beavers today. I feel like it's like every other day we've been saying somebody's leaving the program. Talia von Ohlhofen, a 2-time All Pac-12 guard committing to the USC Trojans, and Reagan Beers also leaving the program, heading to Oklahoma. Von Ohlhofen, she had considered Colorado, Kentucky, and Louisville, but looked at LA, said the opportunities there and the coaching staff's ability to help her get to the WNBA made that decision easy. Sad day for the Oregon State Beavers. I mean, their programs continue to be decimated, good piece by big piece by great player.
Yeah, and that's the one thing about Oregon State. Unfortunately, they haven't found enough stability across the board for every sport. And when they do, you can rest assured that those coaches are going to be poached at some point. So it's tough to keep a lot of great players there for a long time. We saw the women's team have such an amazing year this year, and now, you know, losing players definitely changes the way you plan for next year.
Yeah, it's just sad. I mean, there's something, basketball, I feel like something is, it's something a smaller program like Oregon State, or at least somebody not as nationally known, can invest into. And they were doing that with the women's program and getting somewhere. Just sucks to see. Really sucks. Big news out of Major League Baseball today. Number 3, they plan to address concerns over the recent new uniforms implemented this season. They are, apparently this isn't going to happen until 2025, which I hate, but apparently they are reverting back to the larger lettering on jerseys. They're going to fix the mismatch gray tops and bottoms. They're going to address the sweat collection issues on those new Nike. They're called Vapor Premier jerseys. Essentially, this was a new jersey that nobody in Major League Baseball asked for. The numbers look terrible. The colors look terrible. The Mariners, like, blue doesn't match their actual blue. The Cubs have 2 different shades of blue. There's different mismatching grays. So this has just been an absolute fiasco all year, Rashad. And it sucks they're taking it this long to get it right, but they will.
Sometimes Nike just does too much. And, you know, if you read any of these articles, you can tell most people feel like this is a Nike issue. Yeah. And I'm glad baseball is changing.
Yeah, I thought it was a Fanatics issue, but I was wrong. But I guess Nike is producing all of the Fanatics clothing.
Yes, they are.
And they are just trying to do it with their standards, with like some input from Fanatics.
And I'm glad
it's the weirdest agreement.
I'm glad they saw players were uncomfortable with it and decided to change it. So there it is.
There you go. No, they actually listened to the players. We need that more often. Big news out of the NFL, CBS's NFL pregame show, the NFL Today, going with a new voice. Matt Ryan is going to be joining the cast, as well as dropping Phil Simms and Boomer Esiason. A huge move. Those guys have been on. Sims, at least, he was there as a color analyst before transitioning to the studio for near 20 years. Boomer Esiason, I think he's the longest tenured guy up to this point on NFL Today. So a crazy move, but guys are getting older. I like Matt Ryan. I think he'll offer a new perspective to the broadcast. And at some point, I mean, we're going to see Jimmy Johnson. We're going to see Terry Bradshaw. We're going to see the same thing with these guys. They're going to end their careers.
Yeah, no, I mean, we'll see. You complained about Phil Simms. We'll see how you like Matt Ryan.
I think Matt Ryan's actually smart. I like it.
We'll see.
Is there something I don't know about Matt Ryan?
I don't think so. We'll see if he's any better than Phil Simms.
Well, I think he's going to be. I don't think it's hard to be better than Phil Simms. But
it's easy to say now, but we shall see.
All right. And number one, a couple of moves out of the NFL. The big one, though. The Kansas City Chiefs extending the contract of tight end Travis Kelce for two additional seasons. It does keep him signed through the 2027 year, making just over $17 million in salary. It is a little bit more of a restructuring, though. Essentially, they're taking away money from their cap, the Kansas City Chiefs are, and giving more to Travis Kelce guaranteed. So overall, it helps both parties. I know Pat Mahomes has also already taken a pay cut to try to help the team get some more money available for talent. So nice to see the Kansas City Chiefs giving Travis Kelce money. Do you think that he is worth $17 million a year? I don't think that's a question, but what I do question is the growing value of tight end contracts in the NFL.
He is the tight end. You know, there are a lot of really good ones in the NFL. Travis Kelce is the one. He's worth much more than $17
million. And then there's also a couple of other signings. Ezekiel Elliott signed a one-year deal with the Dallas Cowboys.
Good riddance. Peace.
Yeah, that one is pretty hilarious. It's a deal worth up to $3 million, reuniting him with the franchise that drafted him fourth overall in 2016. I am shocked. I am shocked that they bring him back after letting Tony Pollard go and not drafting a running back. This literally seems like their plan C, and the fact that this was their plan C scares me for what other kinds of plans they have going into 2024. It just sounds like if Jerry Jones actually meant to re-sign him all the time, it was a stupid idea for them to let him go in the first place, and he only ran for 3 touchdowns last season. So at the time, you say, oh, let him go. It's the right decision for us. And then, oh, even after he has a crappy season, we'll bring him back, and it's the right decision for us. What the hell?
Well, if this was the plan all along, Jerry Jones, then you need a new plan because that plan sucked, completely sucked. And now the Cowboys are stuck with really a running back that is really a shell of himself.
And also, previously suspended receiver Quintez Cephus, he is back in the league. He signed a one-year contract with the Buffalo Bills today. He had been suspended last April for betting on NFL games in 2022. So, guys getting back in the league after serving some time. I cannot believe that players are dumb enough to bet on their own sport. And not only do that, Rashad, but bet on it from their team's facility where the IP addresses can be
bet checked. On anything else except for your sport. Man, there's so many other things to bet on. You can bet on cricket. Go bet on that. Why are you betting on something that could potentially get you in trouble? Don't be an idiot.
Ego? I don't know. I just don't get it. And that's
your interpreter to do it.
Well, that's why you're funny. Bringing up the Mizuhara debacle. And it sounds like, I mean, it was Mizuhara. If you've been living under a rock, that was basically an absolving of Shohei Ohtani when we heard the amount of money that he actually owed Mizuhara to the gambling bookies, about $40 million that he was under. Like, that wasn't Shohei. All right, maybe he placed a couple of bets, but no, it absolutely absolved Shohei Ohtani when we heard that. So, just can't believe athletes are doing that. I get it, Rashad. You think, oh, maybe just bet on other sports. But see, I have a problem with that, too. I don't think you should bet on any sport if you're a professional athlete, if you are associated with those teams.
Just,
I get it.
Yeah.
But hear me out. Like you, for instance, like you know a lot of players from this area, right? You know Terrence Ross. You know Aaron Jones. You know so many guys from here. And I compare that to maybe like, say, LeBron James talking to other top-tier athletes in the NBA. Well, he's got friends in the NFL. He probably knows a couple of international soccer connections as well. So while it just sounds fine, like, oh, I'll just bet on any other sport, there is a fraternity, there is a sorority, whatever you want to call it. There is a group of guys and gals that know what is going on with each other. And I do think that there are too many implications even to bet on other professional sports because you are in a club. You are in a very special privileged club that has access to information none of us do. And you can spread that around to each other. So why is it okay? Why if you're just not in the NFL, you can fine, bet on it. You got friends in the NFL. Most of these athletes
I'm pretty sure a lot of these dudes don't have friends that are playing, you know, for the Lightning right now, or teams that are playing for the Golden Knights and stuff like that if you're an NBA or NFL player. I just don't see the point in potentially putting yourself in danger, Jonte Porter, by gambling on your own sport. That makes no sense.
Yeah, he just...
And then it puts you in a light to where if Pete Rose had just gambled on football, he'd be in the Hall of Fame right now.
That's fair.
If he just gambled on football and baseball, we'd be talking about Pete Rose, Charlie Hustle, being in the Hall of Fame. But he gambled on his own team and other teams, so he's not.
I think possibly if he had admitted it sooner, he'd be in the Hall of Fame. All right. The Hot 5 at 5 brought to you by Victor Rico's Mexican Food, the most popular burrito spot in Oregon, online at victorricos.com. Coming up, do you like the decision by the NFL allowing players to wear guardian caps during actual regular season games? You're listening to Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Primetime with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
A big change coming to the NFL for next year. Well, there's many. I mean, they've banned hip drop tackles. They're changing the way that they do kickoffs. But one recently announced change, actually on Friday during the NFL draft, was made by commissioner himself, Roger Goodell, the Big Cheese. He said that along with the announcement of at least hoping someday to go to an 18-game regular season and a 2-game preseason, with that, the Super Bowl would be pushed back a week because an extra bye week would needed to be added. So that would essentially push the Super Bowl back to President's Day weekend, which would be awesome for the people that have President's Day off. I mean, essentially what we've been asking for years. We can all be hung over the day after the Super Bowl. That'd be great.
I got to work on President's Day, so.
I was going to say, you know, we would have to work on President's Day.
You know what? Now. Shut up. I'm a man of the people, guys.
Well, like,
right?
we work,
I care about everybody listening.
We work on Labor Day because there's all the college football games.
Damn right.
We would work on President's Day.
Hey, that's okay. We can be here, but every other, you know, sports fan that's cozy in their bed and hungover can remain cozy in their bed and hungover. But along with that, Roger Goodell, in the same breath, was talking about guardian caps. Guardian caps being allowed during regular season games, a big change coming to the league in 2024. Of course, I think most people listening know what guardian caps are by now. They're the almost plasticky-looking, like, padded addition to the top
think
of helmets.
Think Michelin Man, yeah. And then put it on your head. It's,
it looks like extra, a helmet condom.
It's an extra layer of protection.
It's like a hex pad for your,
yeah,
for your helmet.
It does help as someone who's worn it.
Yeah. Okay, so you have How long did you wear it, Will?
Like 3 years, 4 years.
Okay.
Yeah, that's something that most college teams are wearing in practice nowadays. Yeah. That's pretty common. I don't know if the NFL players are. They probably are. It would make sense.
It is by choice in the NFL.
It's just an extra layer of protection. Now, that being said, I think the first thing that we did when we got those helmet covers was we would spread out 10 yards apart, run at each other, and then headbutt each other to see if like it hurt or not. So there is that aspect of it, but it's all put in to stop concussions or help limit the amount of concussions. The thought process is that might limit the smaller hits, right? Like everyone sees the big knockout blows, the Sean Taylor running over the punter in the Pro Bowl and goes, that's how guys get concussions. When in reality, any offensive lineman, defensive lineman that's ever been tested has tested positive for CTE after the fact, right? Like when they've gone through and examined the brain, they all had CTE. Well, those O linemen, they're not getting knocked out like that, right? They're not taking
a lot of huge crashes right there, yeah.
But every single play, you're constantly banging your head. You can't play a good offensive lineman or a good defensive lineman where you're not hitting with your head unintentionally just because you are down so low and you're trying to strike up and on a rise. You're just going to hit people in the chest, in their face mask, their helmet. It happens. And so this would be a way of limiting and dulling some of those contacts.
Now, I'm curious, is this going to be something for every player, or is it going to be exclusively for, I don't think it's a problem for really offensive and defensive linemen. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Just considering everything that you've explained coming from a former lineman, right? That makes a lot of sense for offensive and defensive linemen to be able to kind of have that. I'm curious if this is something that they're going to make everyone do.
Because if you only make the O&D line do it and then a guy gets a concussion, wouldn't they then sue you? Because they'd be like, well, you know it's important for these guys. Well, I got a concussion. I should be protected to the utmost degree. You know what I mean?
Well, I think in this, because the helmet technology is getting better, there is a part that says the NFL will exempt players from wearing guardian caps if they use one of the new 6 helmet models identified by the league. So you guys are right. There are certain positions like the O-line and D-line that are mandated during training camp to wear this. Other players do have the option. And I do see a question on the Vancouver Ford text line. I want to see the logos put on helmet covers. Well,
I was just about to ask, like, are they going to be team colored or team, you know, uniformed helmet covers? Like,
yeah.
if they're the same silver and black as a Raiders helmet, then cool. Like, if they're the same, you know, blue as the Patriots colors, then cool. But if they're going to be these tacky, you know, just black covers to go over helmets, you know, NFL is all about marketing.
No, that is the plan, to put the logos and I believe to put the colors as well on the guardian caps themselves. So it's going to be something new, but, you know, if you want to,
fans are going to start rocking guardian caps?
Good question. Well, see, and that brings me to another question, because, yeah, you guys are right. The guardian cap, you know, it looks weird, and that's kind of where I'm at. Like, it looks weird, but it's extremely safe. I saw what was the movie Will Smith was in? Was it Concussion? Was that the name of it? But essentially, like, you saw the stories about the terrible, terrible cases of CTE, you know, for guys under 50, under 60 years old, guys that should be able to have a normal life, and because of football, they don't. And this is awesome. I don't want that to happen to anybody anymore. I'm glad that we've gotten to a point where we can prevent that. The numbers here, guardian caps previously mandated for certain positions during training camp in 22 and 23 resulted in a near 50% reduction in concussions. That's according to NFL EVP Jeff Miller. So there are numbers to support this here, but on the other side of things, my stupid fandom comes in and you guys are saying, like, man, these guardian caps might look a little weird. Like, are they going to have the logo on them? And I would assume there's going to be a bit of an adjustment period, but looking at them or watching them on the field. But I think if that's the only issue, then I'm probably being petty as a fan. But I do wonder, with that motivation, why aren't we just designing these under the helmets at this point? It would look like a little bit, somebody in the text line said, a Teletubby head on the Vancouver Ford text line. I think the NFL could get to a helmet that kind of looks like that, but it would look a heck of a lot better than a guardian cap on top of a helmet. I know they're designing these. I know that they're spending millions upon tens of millions in R&D. It's the NFL. That's what they do. But I'm shocked in 2024 we haven't come up with a solution better than a cap over the actual helmet.
I mean, if that's going to help, because like you said, we know that helmet technology is much different, much more, you know, improved since the late 90s, you know, or even, you know, the early 2000s. Like, we know that we've taken the concussion protocols and all of the signs and symptoms of a concussion, and the NFL has really done a better job over the last few years, is really taking that seriously and taking that to heart. So, like, I don't doubt that over the next few years, it depends on how it looks on TV. If it looks great on TV, then they'll keep it. If it looks stupid, then the NFL will go back and they'll change it, because they're all about aesthetically how it looks. And so I'll give it a few weeks before the NFL starts really tweaking things and trying to make them more team friendly or camera friendly or whatever the case is.
I'm a little surprised that they're willing to do it, not because it's necessarily like a safety issue, but because of the look. I know with a lot of the new one, like the one that Mahomes wears, the Exos or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, it is designed to have a version of the Guardian cap on the inside. That's why it looks so ridiculous.
Like
the other
sitting
one
so high on his head.
Right. The other one, you see like George Kittle wear, where it's almost looks like he's got like a hammerhead bill out at the front. A lot of the shuts, what they would do, or no, sorry, it's the Rydell. They have the little spot that's cut out in the middle that's supposed to give extra flex. I'm a little surprised that they are going to the Guardian cap, but something tells me that if that's what they're doing, it's because they see a lawsuit in the future. Like, if the NFL were to have another concussion issue and another lawsuit, because you're never going to get concussions out of the game, right? Like, that's always going to be there. And they find out that, hey, you let teams practice with the Guardian caps, you let guys, you know, do OTAs with Guardian caps and do all these other workouts with Guardian caps, and they can be proven with, you know, scientific testing and different stuff like that to lessen the impact on concussions and lessen the impact on the brain, and they didn't use it, they can just get sued all over again, right? Because the whole thing was they knew about concussions and didn't do anything mm-hmm. to fix it. So it might be more of, yeah, we don't like this, but right now it's the best that we can do until we get a better solution to go back to the normal helmet, and at least the normal helmet look.
Listen, it's always all good until one of your stars gets hurt via concussion.
Yeah.
Tua Tagovailoa,
yep.
He went down with that concussion, and it stopped everybody because at that point, the Dolphins were winning.
He went down with like three concussions.
And then he had three of them. And so, yeah, whenever you start having your stars, or at least people that are close to being stars, that having these injuries, then, you know, things start changing. That whole you can't hit a quarterback in the knees, that changed after Brady got hurt.
Yep.
It's usually it takes one of those star players for something to happen to make the rest of the league go, you know what, we need to revisit this because this isn't working.
And it's obvious that, as we just said, the numbers show it, these Guardian caps are preventing cases like Mike Webster, you know, Steelers former center, rest in peace. Dave Duerson, you know, Eagles star, rest in peace. So many guys from years past that we know what happened to them. And then you wonder, okay, the technology is getting better. Pat Mahomes, you brought up that helmet, and I love the Vancouver Ford text line, says it would look like the NFL Blitz big head cheat. Kind of, and that's sort of what Pat Mahomes' helmet looks like, but that's okay. And frankly, I don't think it's a problem to mandate every player to wear that type of helmet, and I wouldn't be surprised within the decade, Rashad, if that's what they're doing. All right, we got to move on, though. We got to get to some fun with audio. Colts GM Chris Ballard, he hates anonymous sources, and I've got to get on a soapbox about it. That's next. But first, here's Will with SportsCenter.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All-star closer Kenley Jansen, we have a question.
What's the best podcast of all time?
Baseball isn't boring, baby.
I'm Rob Bradford, and every single day I'm sitting down with the biggest names to show you this great game is the greatest game. It's my podcast. It's my passion. It's a cause I started more than 2 years ago and is now the most prolific national daily baseball pod there is. Another fact, so jump aboard the BIB Express. Follow and listen to Baseball Isn't Boring, presented by Wasabi Hot Cloud Storage on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Well, the Miami Heat suck. Are we surprised? Halftime to the Boston Celtics, and they are down by a lot. 53-36 so far, the Celtics lead. Derek White leads the way with 22 points.
Yeah, I don't think we were really surprised by that. The minute we knew that Jimmy Butler wasn't going to be playing for Miami, I think we pretty much gave the series to the Celtics.
Yes and no, because I really, after their win in Game 2, I really thought Miami would actually show up with some effort.
You did?
On Friday night.
That's so cute.
They literally came to the arena asleep. It was like they showed up, walked around. Caleb Martin just didn't want to shoot for some reason. One of your best shooters not putting the ball up doesn't make sense to me. And you lose by like 30?
I think sometimes professional athletes won't admit it until you get your own podcast, like Def Teague. But sometime you know, we're not going to win this series. We're not going to win this game. Like, we'll give it the old college try and go out there and do that. But I think these guys make too much money in most cases to go out there and really give 110% every night in a playoff series to where you know you're not favorite to win even a little bit. I don't know if they've been favorite to win any of these games.
Oh, no. Significant underdogs in every one.
So they gave us the one win that they're going to have, and the rest of this is just a formality at this point.
All right, let's stop torturing ourselves with crappy teams in the NBA playoffs. Let's get into some fun with audio. Colts general manager Chris Ballard, he has gone viral through the weekend into today talking about hating anonymous sources. I absolutely love this dude for the point that he makes here. It's something I firmly believed for a long time. Let's dive into exactly why he's right, but let's set this up first. So Ballard was being interviewed after the draft, and he was apparently not happy about some of the reports that surfaced about apparently the questionable character of one of Indy's draft picks. That was Texas wide receiver A.D. Mitchell, taken 52nd overall. Apparently, he dropped from the first to second round. First round talent coming in, A.D. Mitchell was, according to SB Nation, because one pre-draft report cited Mitchell, a type 1 diabetic, did not manage his condition well, and that could be the cause of friction. Quote, when his blood sugar's off, he's rude, abrasive, and doesn't pay attention in meetings. It's why you get really, really SE character reports coming out of Georgia and Texas. But when his stuff is normal, and they get him normal by lunchtime, he's out at practice, high energy, best practice player, loves football. Also went on to say that Mitchell's disregard for managing his blood sugar was likely a trait of being immature. Once again, these are just surfacing reports before the NFL draft about A.D. Mitchell, which the practice is pretty common. I mean, beyond anonymous sources in all of sports or in all of journalism in general, the reason that these stories are put out there, I think we all do know why. It's because teams are trying to get bigger talents to drop to them in the draft. Like, I would not be shocked if Bill Belichick was leaking things out about Aaron Hernandez himself if he could to get that talent in the third or fourth round or whatever they ended up grabbing him. Teams love to do this. They don't want to spend a high pick on somebody they don't think they should, and this is a way to do that. Now, has Chris Ballard done that? I don't know. We can talk about that. But it's very frustrating to see these reports coming out, especially in Ballard's opinion about such a young kid. Listen to what he had to say on, I believe it was Saturday, after their first couple of rounds, talking about his top pick, A.D. Mitchell.
Matt.
Yeah, what's up?
Welcome to Indy, man. This is Chris Ballard, GM.
Oh, that's
picking
him.
You right here, man.
That's him calling a player, actually.
Absolutely.
That's okay. We can get the Will, search for, go to, let's see, I believe it would be same set of cuts that I told you to search for. It'll be in that one as well. He'll get that in just a second. We got to hear it, though, because Chris Ballard essentially went off on the media and has a point here that I absolutely agree with. It's something, Rashad, that I just don't like about the world of sports and reporting in general, and that's anonymous sources being used to shift narratives and make people believe something when it's absolutely not true. I believe there should be the truth of a situation, not a narrative surrounding, you know, what the truth could be. So here's the actual clip.
I don't know. I mean, I read some of the bullshit that was said on TV. I mean, just the typical, excuse my language, our typical league, unnamed sources, you know, bad interview. That's such bullshit. I mean, it's bullshit. Like, put your name on it. I'm tired of, we tear these young men down. These are 21, 22 young men. And if people out there can tell me they're perfect in their lives, it's crap. This is a good kid. And, you know, for those reports to come out, like, you know, I said it last year, it's bullshit. I'm sorry. I apologize for the language. I don't, but I do.
So I counted 7 expletives.
That was awesome.
In between there. That was awesome. And I'll be honest, man, I'm right there with him, you know, for a lot of different reasons. Number one, who's your source? Cite your source. If you're talking about some random person who's around, or they heard this from a friend or a boyfriend or anybody else, like, Who are we getting this information from? And number two, like, I know people with LBS, with low blood sugar. Like, being irritable, being having trouble concentrating, being confused when you're, like, all these things are symptoms of having low blood sugar. These are things that happen, and I can't fault anybody for having low blood sugar like I wouldn't fault an alcoholic. This is something that you have to live with, you know, for the rest of your life.
Well, a young kid and likes to eat sugar. Oh my God.
Well, not like, even likes to, it's not even a thing about liking to eat sugar.
Well, no, but if
it's
you're managing diabetes, but a 20, 22-year-old kid, they probably, I don't have the best diet when I'm 22. Who does? I still don't have it now.
Are there a lot of people that aren't diabetic that when they don't eat, and we know a bunch of these, I'm pretty sure, Will, you know some people like this. Jordan, yep. You know, when they don't eat, they're a different person. They need to get something in their stomach. Otherwise, they're just not going to be a very, you know, a fun person to be around for a little bit. And so I mean, you could have come up with a lot better critique of this player for anything. But if this is the biggest issue they have, is they have an issue with their low blood sugar from time to time, and that's why you wouldn't want to draft them, like, that's, to quote Jordan Schultz, bullsh.
I appreciate you. That's an Isaac Ropp quote. Bullsh.
Well, Isaac Ropp as well.
Yeah,
bullsh.
I hate anonymous reports. I cannot stand when those are the sources and literally
put your name on it.
Yeah, like the only source, not just one of several, but like it's the headline. I just can't freaking stand that. And usually, when their GMs trying to put this stuff out, team employees, players themselves, agents trying to control a narrative, like I said, there should never be a narrative. There should just be the truth, right? I just call me stupid, but that's the way that I do believe we should work as humans. Humans are too stupid. That's why we try to form narratives. If the truth were just out there, I really think we'd be a little bit smarter as a society, but it is the baseline of why I believe that any source that provides, like, incorrect info, for instance, when Shams Charania put that stuff out there about the Blazers, quote-unquote, mishandling Gary Payton Jr. and causing him to get injured, most likely from a source within the Golden State Warriors organization just trying to take a shot at the Blazers, it was found out to be literally not true. And Shams kind of looks like an idiot because of that, but nobody really cares. Moves on. He gets to put the next story out there, and that is all because of these anonymous reports, because of people trying to move the needle, and others, like reporters Shams Charania, Adrian Wojnarowski, they base their careers on this. They literally make a career by being friendly to certain people, and then they help them disseminate that ill-motivated information from somebody. It is complete bullshit. That's my Schultzy soapbox. I don't want to get too high on it, but I just can't stand this. And I love what Chris Ballard is saying here. Obviously, for the case of this young kid and knocking on a younger guy, like, I love the text line. It says, I'm waiting for the, I'm a man, I'm 40. Exactly. Like, don't come at the kid, come at me. I'm a man. That's who you should be, that's who you should be coming at.
Oh, Gundy, that was a great one.
Oh, Mike Gundy, still there at Oklahoma State.
Talk to me. I'm a man.
After that's, all these
you talk
years.
About viral moments. Like, that was one of them right there.
All right, we only have a few minutes left, so we have got to get into the Oregon Ducks spring football game. There was so much going on over the weekend. You may have forgotten it happened, but it did. Who were the studs? Who won? If you guys were interested, and you didn't know who won the Oregon spring game, it was Oregon.
There's a game.
We'll tell you the biggest takeaways and go over everything we saw on Saturday coming up next. It's 548 on the Fan.
Fan.
Well, Oregon won on Saturday.
Tight.
Heck yeah.
Who'd they play?
Oregon.
Oh, okay. So they were going to win one way or the other.
I don't know. I mean, I saw a couple of takes on Twitter like, oh, no, the offense is looking a little shaky. Like, guys. These are teammates playing themselves.
Who really gets jacked for like scrimmage games, yeah. Right? Like preseason games. Like, oh man, the Blazers are playing the French national team.
I think
today
kids,
in preseason. Like,
I think the fams, the families, the ones that don't normally maybe make it out to a game. I would always notice like people. That I, because I had season tickets as a kid, there were people that just didn't normally go to games. Like, they'd show up to the PSU.
Well, they're different. Like, for just small families or, young families and young kids, like, that part makes sense. You're just happy to be out at a sporting event like that. That part makes sense. But I'm talking about guys like us. Like, you're a diehard sports fan. Do you really care about how the Ducks did at their spring game against each other?
I mean, to a point. But I also know... As you said a couple of minutes ago during our Mod Speedy X report, it is a spring game.
Right.
This is a practice. This is one point in the year where they literally get together before a 2-month break or so, and then training camp happens. So this is kind of just dipping your toes in the water. If you're a program, you're trying to get everybody together. Dan Lanning wants them to play fast, and they did. We'll get into it. There were a lot of good players to look at, and frankly, a lot of big plays. I mean, I saw Tez Johnson catching a couple of big balls. I think the first one was like a first down from Dylan Gabriel, like up the seam, 15 yards. I mean, it looked pretty much like Oregon was settling right back in, at least most of the time. But, of course, it's a spring game. There's going to be issues. It's going to get a little shaky at times. That's what it is.
Yeah, and I mean, I think sometimes it's almost watching, like, Pro Bowl football. Like, I mean,
yeah.
Because you don't want to get each other hurt, right? You want to make sure that got all those pieces going into a year that, to be real, you're going to need every single advantage that you have as you move into this Big Ten schedule.
Even still, three Ducks did get hurt. So you're right, Rashad. Yeah, you
don't want to go out there and potentially, like, Will mentioned earlier, Sean Taylor in the Pro Bowl getting somebody hurt. Like, that's not really what you want in that game. So it's tough to have, like, a huge takeaway from what you saw. Because the corners and your pass rush, that's going to be much faster, much more intense once you're playing, let's say, a Michigan or let's say an Iowa on the other side of that. You understand that people are going to be a lot more enthused to play. I'm not sure how, and I, have a stepdaughter who's now 19 who was at that game and didn't really take anything away from it. It was like, oh, it was cool to be there. It was a spring game. It's fun stuff to do, but. It's tough for me to have real takeaways from like preseason games or a spring game like this one.
Well, especially in that spring game where like one team has half of the starting O-line and the other team has the other half of the starting O-line. Yeah. The spring game is a way to kind of sort of showcase your talent, kind of sort of see if, hey, is this guy a gamer or not? The true stars. Dylan Gabriel might have taken it more serious than he normally would because he's a transfer in quarterback. But if that would have been like Bo Nix last year, Bo Nix might not even play in the game. The spring game is really to see what you have in the first years, the redshirt freshmen, or the guys who are like a sophomore, but they're still a backup. Like, is this a guy that we want to keep on our team? Do we see like some growth?
Do we see him as potentially filling out a role here in a year or two? Or is this a guy that we need to actively de-recruit from our team because he's just not going to play and he's taking up a roster spot right now?
And Gabriel had to play well because, number one, his predecessor just went 12th overall right before that, a couple days before that. So you would hope that he came out there guns a-blazing and was ready to play. But I don't know. It's just tough to, like, even the Blazers, like, fan fest thing that they do at the beginning of the season where it's like a white versus red team or red versus black. Like, it's tough to get up for that because what am I really looking at here?
No, it's true. And you look at the final score, which was 28-17. I think there was like a long touchdown run that was called back at the end, or they didn't actually add it to the final score because the players just let him run in. So that's what I'm saying. It's like the score doesn't even really matter. What matters is some of the individual performances that you saw, or at least just the looks that you got at guys during the actual scrimmage itself. We need to replace a lot of holes in the backfield. You know, we were just talking about guys going to the NFL draft, and when you lose two big pieces like you did, and then you got Evan Williams gone, you got so many other guys thankfully coming in to try to replace that, not only on the defensive backfield, but on the offensive side for wide receivers as well. I mean, there's holes to fill. That's kind of what you're looking at, trying to see what guys did. So trying to see here on the offense, Dylan Gabriel did well, 163 yards, a couple touchdowns. On the other side, Dante Moore and Austin Novosad played on one team themselves. Neither of them threw touchdowns, but they actually looked really good at quarterback. And I feel like made it harder for some of these new transfer defensive backs to come in. And maybe that's one of the reasons some people are like, oh, there's a question there. But that's the thing. It felt like at different times of the game, both sides succeeded in different ways.
Go ahead, Will.
Yeah, I think when you look at this new Oregon team, each year they get bigger and bigger.
Yeah, absolutely.
What I've noticed is the Chip Kelly speed kills days are gone. Not that they don't have speed.
It's but not up front where they were at offensive line and stuff.
Right. Like, a lot of people want to complain about the Mario Cristobal years. Mario Cristobal did one really gigantic thing for Oregon, and that's get in quality offensive linemen. And that's what you're seeing. Like, Jackson Powers Johnson, that's a Mario Cristobal guy, you know. Alex Forsythe, that's a Mario Cristobal guy. Now, some of these guys are starting to become more Dan Lanning guys, right? Because he's gotten a lot of transfers in. But what Lanning is doing is he's seeing what Mario did in building that position and building up. And then defensively, he's just taking what he did at Georgia and he's getting those same recruits or same style of recruit to come over and join his team down in Eugene. I really, really like what they're doing. Like, when you looked at last season, Jeffrey Bossa was all over the place, and he should have been because he's a really darn good football player. The irony is what I'm hearing out of, like, spring ball camps. It's not that he's playing worse. In fact, he's had a better offseason, you know. He's improved his skills, but you're not seeing Jeffrey Bossa as much because you have other guys on the D-line and at that linebacker position that are also making plays, right? Like, I remember in the Seattle Seahawks days, it was if Bobby Wagner didn't make a big stop after the Legion of Boom time, but before he leaves the first time. So in that little transition period where Sherman's gone, Chancellor's gone, Thomas is still there, but he's banged up. You know, Michael Bennett's gone. Cliff Averill's gone. It was if Bobby made the play, they were solid. If Bobby doesn't make the play, that guy could be running forever. Now, it wasn't quite to that extreme with Jeffrey Bossa at the middle linebacker spot, but it definitely was a big key of Jeffrey Bossa has to have a big game tackling. And this year, you might not have to rely on him as much as you have in the past because you have so much skill in other spots.
They still got Justin Jacobs around, too. And yeah, the guys, we did see Kobe Savage go out with an injury yesterday, one of the new senior transfer backs in the defensive side. But Dan Lanning did say none of the guys that were injured. It was actually a couple of wide receivers. Let's see here. Yeah, Jurion Dickey and Trayshon Holden marked it down. They went out with injuries along with safety Kobe Savage, but thankfully Dan Lanning said that there's no long-term effects there, at least expected to be, but him along with Jabbar Muhammad and Brandon Johnson out there basically filling those holes. Like I said, it's a battle all day. And the wide receivers lining up, I heard Dusty say it earlier perfectly on Danny and Dusty. You're lining up against these guys for weeks. You know what they're going to do on both sides. Dylan Gabriel's been throwing the ball to these guys for weeks. So these DBs know what Dylan Gabriel looks like when he's throwing the ball, knows where he's tracking a little bit with his eyes. So it's not surprising to see the game so close. But, you know, it was entertaining and nice to see the Ducks getting going and filling holes. At the defensive back, but also just their deep wide receiver room, their deep tight end room, their deep quarterback room, Rashad. The Ducks, I believe in the Big Ten. They're going to make some waves in their first year. Everyone thinks I'm crazy, says they're not competing for a Big Ten championship. Yes, they are. They're absolutely going in.
I think they're going to compete for a Big Ten championship for about the first maybe 7 weeks of the season. But after that, I don't know. Once you have to play, you know, and I'm not sure what the schedule looks like. Forgive me, I'm not looking at it now. But with Michigan and Ohio State on your schedule every year, it's going to be a dogfight for you to do that. I just wish that college football had at least a jamboree game or something similar to that, to where they can kind of work out the kinks before week one.
Nice to see Dylan Gabriel having that little quick step, too, that Sean Payton referred to Bo Nix having. I think it's easy to see why Dan Lanning brought Dylan Gabriel in, and that, to me, makes the transition super smooth for the quarterback position, which is really important for the Ducks. But once again, just spring, so try to stop getting too high on the horse about it. All right, we are done. Done talking sports. Let's have some fun, all right? Let's get to the club. Let's talk. I've been talking with my wife about our first cars lately, so I kind of wanted to let that conversation spill into the show and ask you guys about it. A new Austin Powers movie is possibly in the works. Can that even be made today? We'll talk about that. The Juice's cause of death has been made official, and Southwest Airlines possibly doing away with their open seating policy. Uh-oh. Club is next on Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All-star closer Kenley Jansen, we have a question.
What's the best podcast of all time?
Baseball isn't boring, baby.
I'm Rob Bradford, and every single day I'm sitting down with the biggest names to show you this great game is the greatest game. It's my podcast. It's my passion. It's a cause I started more than 2 years ago and is now the most prolific national daily baseball pod there is. Another fact, so jump aboard the BIB Express. Follow and listen to Baseball Isn't Boring, presented by Wasabi Hot Cloud Storage on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.